Today's Shir is Masech Lizvachim on Daf Tzadik Vav. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Hamid Beis, 13 lines from the bottom of the Yamid, with the words, Hahu Tanura. Let us begin with a short Hakdama. We are in the middle of a sugya based on a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which states, Ukli Cheres Asher Tevushal Boy Vishavar Ve'im Bekli Nechayishes Bushalo Marek Veshutav Bamayim. If one cooked a chatas in an earthenware keli, then the halach is it has to be broken. However, if this was done in a copper keli, then it needs to be purged and rinsed in water. The pasuk is speaking about the tam of the basar, of the chatas, will get nivla, will get absorbed within the doifnei kli, the walls of the keli. And this, in turn, could become nicer after the allotted zman for eating that korban. And then subsequently, if another chatas was cooked in the same klicheres, for example, then it would be boleya. It would absorb taste from the walls of a keli, which are nicer. And therefore, the klicheres has to be broken. And in the case of a kli nechoshes, it is purged and rinsed. We'll learn more about this at the end of today's daf. The purging is on the inside of the keli. The rinsing is on the outside. One shita says that it's both of them are done in cold water. And another shita says that the purging is done in hot water. And there are various machlokes rishonim concerning the Marikan Shtifa and the Shvira by a Klicheres. For example, what happens if one never plans to use that Keli again? According to the Run, you have to do Shviras Klicheres or Marikan Shtifa of the Kli Nechoshes anyway. And this is the same as Neisser itself. Just like Neisser has to be burnt, so too the Tom that's Nivlin, the Daifnea Kli, has to be destroyed, has to be gotten rid of, even if you're not planning to use that keli again. However, according to other Rishonim, it's only to prevent the Tom of Neisser from prohibiting subsequent foods. If you're not planning to use the keli again, it would not be necessary. Another Machlokes Rishonim, when does this Shvira of the Klicheres or Mariku Shtifa of a Kli Nechoshes take place? Is it a corrective measure or is it a preventive measure? Shitas, Rashi, and Tosis and derive it is that it's corrective after the fact, after the tam is nivla in the doifnei kli and becomes nicer. That's when you have to do Marika Shtifa or Shviras Klicheres. However, the Shitas Rambam is that even before it becomes nicer, there's a chiyuv to do Shviras Klicheres and Marika and Shtifa on the kli nechoshes. And finally, the last Gemara that we learned in yesterday's daf had a Hakira in the Gemara. What exactly is this requirement of Marika Ushtifa? Is it only because of the Bliya of the Neisser? Or is it a Gzeiras HaKosef? And the Nafka Minna will be, let's say someone cooked a Chatas in a Kli Cheres or in a Kli Nechoshes that did not touch the doifnei hakli. It was on a shpud, and it didn't come in contact with the walls of the keli. So if it's only because of bliya that the Torah required shvira or mariku shtifa in a kli nechoshes, so then, here where there's no bliya, then there would be no requirement to take these corrective actions. However, if it's a gzeiras hakosef, that any chatas that is cooked in a keli, even if there was no contact with the doifnei kli, has nothing to do with belias, it's above and beyond the regular hechsher kelim dagola that we find concerning isurei Torah, or in this case, because of the isur noiser of kachim. But rather it's a gzeiras hakosef, then even Bishul without Belia would also require Shviras Klicheres and Mariku Shtifa of Kli Nechoshes, and this Shaila in our Gemara did not come to any resolution. Gemara wanted to bring a raya, the Gemara shlugged up the raya, and at the end of the sugya, when we ended the daf in yesterday's shir, there was no resolution. And now let us see a story that took place that is related to this entire sugya. Begins the Gemara 13 lines from the bottom, Hahu Tanura. There was this oven. It's not clear if it was a earthenware oven or it was a metal oven. It would seem from the Mahalakha Gemara it was an earthenware oven. And we learned in yesterday's sugya that concerning klicheres, she'ena yoytsumi dei doifiv la'olam, that the reason a klicheres requires shvira is because the tam that's nivla in the doifne kli will never come out of the kli. So there was this tanura. The atchu ba tichaya, where they greased it, they smeared on the walls of the keli a fat. Rashi says it was from aliyah, it was from the fat tail of a sheep, which has halach of kosher basar. It doesn't have halach of chaylev, but rather it is 100% permitted to eat. And they used to have a bread that was fried in that fat, and the fat, the grease, was put on the doifne kli. So now there was nivla into this tanur, fleishiks, the tam of the fat. Osra rababar ahilai lemichla lerifta loilam. He prohibited this bread from being eaten forever, vafila bemilchan, even with salt. Because rababar ahilai swore was that since it's, as we said, a kli cheres, and it's not yoytz midei doifnoi la'olam, that tom will remain in this kli cheres forever. So that tom will affect subsequent baking of breads in this oven. They will likewise become fleishig breads. And as we know, there's an isser, for example, to have, we'll learn about it in a few lines in the Gemara, there's an isser to bake milchik breads because you might come to eat it with fleishik. So too, there's an isser to bake fleishik breads because you may come to eat it with milchiks. And therefore, not only is it usser to eat fleishik bread with milchiks because of basar b'chalav, but the Rabbanan placed an injunction on this bread that it shouldn't be eaten whatsoever, even with salt. And the Gemara says the reason, Dilma Asi Lemichla Bikutcha, because it could be the person will have this bread left over and he will forget that it's fleishig bread and he'll come to eat it with kutach. Kutach is a dish that was made out of sour milk, breadcrumbs, and salt. So he'll come out to eat Basar b'cholov together. Therefore, they prohibited this bread altogether. And Rabba Bar Ahilai prohibited using this oven forever. And his shita was that kashering it wouldn't help. Hasaka, Rashi says, lo'olam va'filu hisiku. Va'afu boy, even if they first kashered it, fired up the oven, and kashered it wouldn't help. The kesaver in the yotzim, they doifyov. We've learned in the Braisa, ain lush as the isa b'cholov. You're not allowed to knead the dough with milk. The imlosh, if he kneaded the dough with milk, kol apas kol asura. So the bread is totally usur. It's certainly usur to eat it with fleishiks, but you can't even eat it alone because the rabbanu were geyser that he might come mipnei, as the Gemara continues, mipnei hergel avera. He might get used to eating this bread. He'll come to eat it even, as Rashi says, shlo yoichel apasim abasar. He might come to eat this bread with fleishik, and therefore they prohibited him to use milchik bread whatsoever. Ki yaitzeboy, similarly, ein toshin es ataner ba'alya. You cannot grease, you cannot spread the fat of the tail of a sheep. In the previous Gemara, it didn't say what the fat was. It could have been other kosher fat. Rashi told us it was Toshin Hataner Ba'alya in Divrei Amaschel Tachia, Tochu Ba'Tachia. However, here the Gemara says it Beferish, Ein Toshin Hataner Ba'alya, that you don't use the fat of the tail of a sheep, Ve'im Tosh, and if he did smear the oven walls with this fat of the tail of a sheep, kol apas kol asura, all bread that is baked in that oven is usser because it's fleishik bread. Ad sheyasek es hatanur, until he burns out the tanur, until he is machshir the tanur. So from here you see clearly that you are able to kasher a earthenware tanur, and you can use it for subsequent bakings of bread, and the taste of the tan that's nivel in the daifnei kli will come out with kashering it to yufta, the rabba barahilai to yufta. So from this brisa, it is a checkmate. It's a to yufta on rabba barahilai. And the Gemara says, indeed, to yufta, this is so. It is, in fact, a to yufta. Because here we see that he shouldn't have ushered it l'oilam. The bread is ushered, but the oven, once you kasher it, you can use it for subsequent bakings. Omalei Ravin l'Ravashi v'chima achar di toisiv. Rabba Barahilai, now that we have disproved, Rabba Barahilai, amai, omar Rav. Why did Rav say concerning chometz in Pesach, k'dei reis v'pesach yishov eiru, if you have earthenware pots, which have in it chametz, so you cannot use them on Pesach. There is no way to kasher them. And you have to break them. Why do you have to break them? Why can't you kasher them? We see that kashering helps. Amar lei, he responded, Rav mukilahi bishamateches. Rav will say, that brisa which said that you can't use a tanner to bake fleishig bread, achi yasek es hataner. So we see hasok es hataner helps, kashering helps. That's not speaking about a klicheres. That is speaking about a taner, which was mateches. It was metal. On metal, kashering helps. However, on cheres, which was the case that we started with, ahu tanurid atchuba tichaya, there it's klicheres. Klicheres, kashering does not help. The iboy yisema, or I'll give you a different teretz. Really, b'taner shel cheres. The case of ein toshen es hataner ba'al yavim tosh kol paskul asur achi yasek es hataner is speaking about a earthenware taner. And kashering does help on an earthenware taner. Ah, you asked me a question. So why did Rav usher the pots on Pesach? There's a difference between a taner and between pots. By a iboy yisema b'taner shel cheres, but zeh he sikam b'fnim. By a tanner, where do you fire up the oven from the inside? That's where the fat, the fleishik fat, was put. And therefore, where it was put, if you heat it up, you can kasher it. But vizeh, by pots, which Rav is speaking about, hisikim ibachutz, where do they fire it up? They fire it up on the outside. But the iser was nivla on the inside. The heating up on the outside of the pot will not help to remove the tam that's nivlin, the daifner kli, which came from the inside. So that's why Rav said the kederis of earthenware on Pesach should be broken. The oven of earthenware could be kashered? Yeah, because there the kashering is taking place from the inside. Ask the Gemara, v'navet asakim b'fnim. So if Rav admits that heating up something from the inside will help, and that's why it helps by a tanner. So why didn't Rav say, instead of breaking the kederis on Pesach, you should first kasher them from the inside? Answers the Gemara, Rav did not allow them to kasher it from the inside either. Why? Because chai is ala demitvari. Since normally the cooking is done from the outside, the person is going to be afraid to kasher it from the inside because he'll be afraid that he will break the keli thereby. And he'll rationalize to himself, if kashering helps from the inside, it helps probably from the outside as well. And it really doesn't help from the outside. So therefore, Rav banned kashering altogether. And he said the only eitz is, k'deis b'pesach, yishav veiru. They have to be broken. However, it would come out, and it's going to be negated the next line of Gemara, it'll come out if there was such an item where people would not worry about the fact that it would break, even if it was done from the inside, then even though it's earthenware, it would help to do hasaka, hilkach, high kuvya, there by a tile ring. If he sikam ibechutz, if you, this was used, Rashi tells us, there was an earthenware cylinder in the tile ring which was used for baking of bread at times. So if they made, for example, the same case of fleishig bread, if hisiku mi bachutz, if they fired it up from the outside, who vaser? So then ein hachanami will be aser. But the Meforshim explain that ein hachanami, if he would do it in that case from the inside, it would work. Because by the kuvya, everyone knew that if you do it from the inside, it will not break. So ein hachanami, there Rav, for example, wouldn't have made a gzera. Because there was not, if you tell him to kasher from the inside, he's not worried about it breaking, and he'll listen, and he'll kasher it from the inside. If he did it from the outside, then in the chlami it's usher. Because since it's used from the inside, and he's only kashering it from the outside, it doesn't work from the outside, because the bread was put on the inside. However, in this case of kuvy, if we do it from the inside, in the chlami, the kashering would work. So from our Gemara, it would come out so far that it is possible to kasher a kli cheres, for example, by a tanur, where it's always the sucker from the inside, it's possible to kasher. Or on items where you don't have to worry that he will not listen and do it from the inside, where he's afraid of them breaking. If he's not afraid, then it would help also. So the Gemara asks, as we turn to Daft Tzadik Vav Amid Aleph, Elekedei Shel Migdash Amai Yishaveru. Why is the din? Amai Yishavru, why is the din? That parts of Kli Cheres in the base HaMigdash, why did they have to be broken? Nehadrinu Likiv Shainois, even if they're made from earthenware, bring them back to the kiln, fire them up, and in the kiln, when they were fired up, we're not worried it's going to break. It's just going to refire the same keli and it doesn't break. And wherever we're not worried about it getting broken, then the kashering helps. Rav, for example, who asered kederus of chametz on Pesach, but he would not have asered over here. So why in the Migdash did they have to break it? Let them give it back to the kivshinus. Now, there in the parentheses, we have the words Amar Rachmana. On the side, the Masoret Shas brings down that if you look in Rashi and Tosfos, Lesa Lahanach Shtei Tevis. Look at the Divrei Maskil of Rashi, the top Rashi. Elekedei Shel Migdash Amai Yishaveru. Rashi doesn't have Amar Rachmana. You look at the third Tosfos here on the Amud. Elekedei Shel Migdash Amai Yishaveru. The same thing without the words Amar Rachmana. However, if you look at the last two lines of that Tosfos at the end of the second last line, V'loy kisvorim de garsi hocha keder shemigdash amai amar rachmana yishaveru lahedra l'kiv shaynis de mashma de porach akra midikomer amai amar rachmana. So Tosfos brings that there is such a girsa, as we in fact have here in the Gemara in parentheses. Why did the Torah say? So Tosfos says, not like that girsa. So let us look in the top Rashi why Rashi says we don't have the girsa of Amar Rachmana. So says Rashi, we'll learn it inside. What's the Gemara's kasha? Hoyul ve'islu takanta belibun. Since libun helps even on a kli cheres at certain times, ha'okimna, we've established the taima mishum beluahu. Why do we have by a keli in which a chatos was cooked? What's the reason for the iser? Because of the bli of noiser, that's why you have to break a kli cheres. V'loy abishul kapit kra. It's not that there's a gzeres akosav, the name gzeres akosav. It's not a gzeres akosav that even if you have bishul without belua, yet you have to break it. It's only because of bli of noiser. So unehed b'mishkan ksiv yishavar, even though the Torah itself says Amar Rachmana, the Torah says yishavar, yeah, lefi shaloi hayu kivuin liya islam kivshayin. They were on the go; they couldn't establish a kivshan, a kiln in which to put in the klicheres, letzar of klicheres. Av b'migdash, in the migdash where they were established, and they could have kivshaynis, and they had drinu lekivshaynis. Shehayoytzer tsarfen bem v'yislapnu. The craftsman will make libun, and libun works. And we're not worried about it breaking. So why did they waste all these klicheris and break them? They could have refired them in a kifshan. So that's why Rashi explains we don't have a kasha amar rachmana. We're not gairus amar rachmana. It's not a kasha on the Torah. The Torah, we understand, wasn't set up that they should have, as they're moving through the midbar, that they should have the kifshaynes. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, where they were established, let them have a kifshin, and let them take the klicheres, put it into the kifshin, and kasher it. So is the pshat of Rashi. However, Tosfos has difficulty with Rashi, because as we spoke out at the beginning of today's shir, and as we learned at the end of yesterday's shir, that this is really the Gemara had a shaila. What is the whole inyan of shviras klicheres when you cook a chatas in it? What is the inyan of mariku shtifa of kli nechayshis? Is it only because of nicer? It's certainly an inyan, it has something to do with nicer, because you certainly have to get rid of the iser nicer. But maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's exeris akasiv. And the nafka minna was by bishul without bliya. If it's only nicer, then it would only be usher with bliya. If there's no bliya, then there's no requirement of shrira or mariku shtifa. But if it's exeris akasiv, the Torah says if you cooked in a pot, then you have to do something shrira, you have to do some corrective action of shrira or mariku shtifa, even if there is no bliya. That was the Gemara Shaila. And we said that the Gemara didn't come to Maskana. So how does Rashi over here say, Ha'akimna de time of Mishum Baluahi? What do you mean, Ha'akimna? V'loya bishul kapit krat name exeris akasavi. We ended off that the Gemara didn't come to Maskana. The Gemara wanted to bring a Rai, and the Gemara shlugged up the Rai. Because of this Kasha, Tosfos learns a completely different pshat in the Sugya. Ayin Shum in Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Ela Keder Shamigdash Amayi Shaveru. But Lamaskana, both according to Rashi and Tosfos, the Kasha of the Gemara is not on the Mishkan, and that's why we're not Goyeris Amar Rachmana. The Kasha is in the Migdash. Why wasn't there? And that's why the Lashna of the Gemara is Ela Keder Shamigdash Amayi Shaveru. Put them back in the kifshin, make libun, since libun is possible on a klicheres, when there's no problem of it breaking, why didn't they do it? Amar Rav Zeira, the answer is, l'fi she'ein oisin kifshanis b'Yerushalayim. Because, as Rashi says, we have the Gemara in Bava Kama, daf pei beis amud beis, that says that you're not allowed to have a kifshin Yerushalayim because of the kutra, because of the smoke, we do not want to deface and take away from the beauty Klilas Yoifi of Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh, therefore they prohibited Kivshinus Yerushalayim, so that wasn't an Eitzah. And to take it outside of Yerushalayim was also not an Eitzah, because you had to do everything in the Azora. It had to be broken in the Azora, it had to have Marika Shtif in the Azora. If you're going to take it outside of the Zohar, that was not permitted. It had to be b'makom kadosh. And to make the kifshin in the Zohar, they had a problem, shein ois and kifshinus b'Yerushalayim. So we had no Eitzah. The only Eitzah was to break it. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, why is breaking it a better Eitzah? V'chi ois nashpasis b'Azohar. Do you make in the Zohar a dumpster where you're going to have broken shards of kalim? Why is that a better Eitzah? So the Gemara says, Ishtamitze Abaya forgot, Hadatani Shmaya b'Kalneboy. Shmaya in the city of Kalneboy, which Rashi says was named after an Avodah Zarah. So Shmaya learned there that Shivrei Kli Cheres, he learned in a Braisa, that the broken shards of a Kli Cheres, a Nes happened, Nivlon b'Mekayman. There were no Ashpos, there were no dumpsters, garbage stacks of broken shards of kalim in the Azor, but rather, and that's happened, they were all nivla in b'mekayman, in their place, in the ground, and there was no remnant, no zecher of these broken pieces of shard. Ask the Gemara, Elohadom, Rav Nachman, Rav Ravua, Tanur shel migdash, shel mateches have, the Tanur in the migdash was made out of metal. And we learned on Sadik Heyamid Beis that why was it made out of metal? The Gemara said, if it's because of the Chatas, maybe you could have had it out of klicheres, because, as we said, the Gemara has a suffix, there may be bishul without bulia, there's no problem. The only reason the Gemara said you need shamateches is because of the shirayim of the mincha, because that was baked with oil in the tanur, and because of the bishul and bulia of the shirayim of the mincha, that's why that they would have become nicer in a kli cheres, and it would have had to be broken, and that's why the tanner was made out of metal. But now that we're saying that kashering helps, so the Gemara's kasha is tanner shamed v'shamatachasavi neved the cheres made of a cheres the sikim b'fnim hu, because we learned that tzadik heyamid beis that there's a difference between a pot which is a sikim b'chutz and a taner, which is a sikui mibifnim. If a taner is a sikui mibifnim, and libun helps in a taner, so then you could have made, there's no problem of the shirayim of the mincha, because I'll kasher it. I'll do libun from the inside, and then there's no problem. The Gemara answers, no, there is a problem. The kiv and the ikishtei alechem, lechem upon him. The reason you need them to be made out of metal is for a totally different reason. It has nothing to do with nicer, with kashering, with marika shtif, a whole different reason. Kiven the ikke shtei alechem. On Shavuos we have the shtei alechem. And every week we used to have the lechem upon him. Dafi yosin betaner. Where was it baked? In a taner. Ukidu shosan. Where was it? Niskadei. She had to be niskadish in a klisharis. It was in that same taner. Betana hava. Betaner. Havalei klishareis. Uklisharis the cheres loy avdinon, as Rashi explains, because since there was no oil used with the shtei alechem or the lechem upon him, if there would have been oil, then it would have had to be kneaded with the oil together in a klisharis in the azara, in the kodesh, and it would have to have been done inside the Beis HaMikdash. But since this didn't have oil, so therefore the kneading was done outside of the Azara, and it was only brought in to be baked. So the first time that it required klisharis is by the baking. So since that baking was in a tanner, and the Hegdish, the Kedusha of the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him happened in that same Taner, Vikedushasin betaner. So now the Taner is not just something that bakes the Lechem upon him and the Shtei Alechem, but the Taner is Mekadesh as a Klisharis, Havalei Klisharis. And the din is Klisharis, the Cheres Loy of Din. Had we used oil in it, then it would have been the Scottish in the Klisharis in which they would needed the oil into the flour of the lechem aparam shtei alechem. But since oil wasn't used, so therefore it wasn't necessary to be mekadesh in a klisharis until it was baked. So at that moment, when it was baked, it had to be in the Scottish in that oven, and therefore the oven served as a klisharis as well. The halach is, you don't make a klisharis of cheres. That is the only reason why the tanner in the Migdash was made out of mateches, of metal, because it was a klisharis, and a klisharis can't be made of cheres, as we turn to Daf Tzadik Vav on the base. Vafilu Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, which Rashi says we're referring to Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Nun Amud Beis, where we have a machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Rabbi Shita is that a klisharis can only be made out of metal. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda says it could even be made out of eights. Even Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, like Homer, all of the eights, he only permitted eights. Aval de cheres, earthenware. Even Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda agrees to Rabbi that cheres, loy, you could not make a kli cheres for a kli shoris out of a kli cheres. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yehuda, the Gemara tells us a story. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yehuda have a rogel kamei to Rabbi bar Chama. He was frequent by Rabbi bar Chama. In other words, he was a Talmud of Rabbi bar Chama. But one day, for certain reasons, as we'll soon learn why, Shafke, he left Rami bar Chama, va'ozil Rav Sheshes, and he went to learn by Rav Sheshes. Yom Echad, one day, Poga Bey, Rami bar Chama met his former Talmud, Rav Yitzchak, Amar Lei, Apparently, Rami was upset that Rabbi Yitzchak had left him. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Lei. So Rami said to Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Al kafta nakton. You, a nobleman took your hand. Recha asila liyad. So do you think that the fragrance of the nobleman came to your hand? And Rashi says this is a mashal to someone who he thought was a balgaiva. He thought that Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda wanted to be in the company of great gedolim. Many people seek importance by association. If I'll associate with a certain politician who's in the newspapers every day, so that will rub off on me. If I associate with a nobleman, so the nobility will rub off on me. So Rami Rechama said to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, do you think because a nobleman took your hand that the fragrance of his nobility rubbed off on you? Mishum de azizloch kameder Rav Sheshes, havislach ki Rav Sheshes. Do you think, in your gaiva, do you think that just going to Rav Sheshes, that's going to rub off on you and you're going to be like Rav Sheshes? Amar lei. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda said to Rami Bar Chama, Lav mishum hachi chas v'shalom. I didn't do it because of gaiva. I went because of limud haTorah. Why? Because mar, by you, Rami Bar Chama, kibina milsa, when I ask you a question, partially misvara, you used to give me an answer from misvara. But what would happen? Kimashkachna masnita parchala. But when I would find words of the Tanoim, either in a Mishnayis or in a Brisa, I would be able to refute you. As Rashi says, the Amoyer b'maka masnita lesa. An Amoyer like Rabbi Bar Chama, when it comes to the words of a Mishnah or a Brisa, he's refuted if we find an often a Mishnah or a Brisa against Rabbi Bar Chama. But Rav Sheshes, as Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Erev and Daf Samach Zayin Amid Aleph, that whenever Rav Chizda would come in contact with Rav Sheshes and they would begin to speak in learning, Merachshan Sfasei, Rav Sheshes was a boki shemishnayis siduris befiv. He knew all the shisha sidre mishnah balpeh. He knew all the brises as well. So Rav Chizda's lips used to quiver in fear. They used to tremble in trepidation because I'm going to say something and Rav Sheshes is going to slug me up from an off in a mishnah, an off in a brisa. So by Rav Sheshes says, continued Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, ki be'ina milsi minei, when I ask him something, partially m'masnisa, he brings me a raya from the words of the Tanoim. Dechinami mashkachas masnisa upircha, even if I find a different Mishnayis, a different Brisa, and refute him, it's not a refutation of him, because masnita masnita hi, because it's one word of a tanoim against the words of other tanoim. It's a brice against a brice, a mishnah against a mishnah. So memela, I feel more secure in my learning, because he answers me from rayas, from the words of the tanoim, whereas you answer me from svara. Amar lei, so Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Yitzchak, boy mini milsa. Okay, let's try it out. Ask me something, that I should bring you a proof, and you'll find that when I answer you, kimasnisa, as Rashi explains, you'll find that we can corroborate what I have said with the words of the Tanoim. So, boy, mine, he asked him the following shah, which is nageya to our sugya. Bishal b'miktsas kli ton marika shtifoy ain't ton. What happens if it was a very wide keli at the bottom? He placed the meat in the keli, and it was only on a section of the keli. So we're going to need marika shtifa because it was beleya, but do I have to marika and shtifa on the entire keli or just on the spot where it came into contact with the walls of the keli? Amalei, ain't a ton. The whole keli does not require marika shtifa, only the spot. Midi dehavi ahazor. Just like we find by the splattering of dam on a beget. As we learned before in the Mishnah Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, Ein Ton Kibbus El B'makom Adam, that the clothing on which dam of the Chatas was splattered, it only requires to be washed and cleaned on that spot which has the dam. So he says, Rav Yitzchak says to Rami Bar Chama, V'holoi Tana Hachi, you told me that I'm going to be able to find a brice or a mishnah to corroborate what you're saying from Svara. I don't have it. Amale, no. Mistavra kebeget. We know what the halach is by beget. That's written in the mishnah. And my logic tells me that the halach of Mariku Shtifa will be the same as beget. Ma beget ain't a ton kibbutz el b'makam adam. Just like the beget only requires kibbutz in the place of the dam, af kli ain't a ton Mariku Shtifa el b'makam bishul. So a keli also will only require Mariku Shtifa on the spot where the bishul took place and not the whole keli. Amar leitz Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rami, me dummy, how can you compare the case of cooking in a kli to the case of dum splattering on a beged? Dum lo mefapea. A dum does not permeate the entire beged. It doesn't spread out. But bishul, because of the heat, mefapea, it permeates the entire keli, not only on the spot where you cooked it directly. V'yoid, and Tanya, we learned in a braisa, beferish, that you have to do Marika and Shtif on the whole keli, even though you only cooked on part of it. Because we learned the following. Chomer bazom Marika Shtif. On the one hand, we find chumras with the halach of dam splattering on a beged, chumras over Marika Shtif in a keli. The chomer Marika Shtif mi bazo. We find chumras of Marika Shtif over a splattering on a beged. Here is the list. Chomer vazo, there's a chomer vazo over Mariku Shtifa, shazo, yesh le bechatois hachitzoinis, u bechatois hapnimius, v'yesh le lefnei zirika. The din of splattering, of dum, has nothing to do with something that's edible, whether it is a chatas chitzoina, which could be eaten, or a chatas pnimi, which can't be eaten. Or even if it's before the Zrikas Adam, so even the Chatas Chitzoina could not be eaten. Has nothing to do with that. You have to clean the splattering of the dam from the beget. Ma shenken b'Marika Shtifa. Marika Shtifa is dafke Chatas Chitzoina, which could be eaten, and it's only Chatas Chitzoina after the Zrikas Adam. Because as Rashi brings down, following the halacha of the Marika Shtif, it says, "Kol zocher b'kahanim yoichal oisa." It has to be edible, and that's only a chatas chitzayna la'acher zrikas adam. So we see that Hazor has a chumra over Mariku Shtifa. But on the opposite, chaymer b'mariku shtifa, shamariku shtifa, nehegis bein b'kotcha kotcha bein b'kotcha m'kalm. Like we had the Tanakhama of our mission on Daf Tzadik Hamid Beis, that the halacha of Mariku Shtifa applies both by kotcha kodoshim and by kotcha m'kalm. And also, Bishal b'mixas hakli, ton Mariku Shtifa kol hakli, here the Brisa says a beferish, that if you cooked only on part of the keli, you still require Mariku Shtifa on the whole keli. Ma shenken b'hazah, whereas by hazah, the dam that splatters is only a halach of dam chatas that splatters, that you have to do kibbutz b'makom kadosh in the hazara. And it's only on a mixus of the keli. You don't have to, on the mixus of the beged, you don't have to do it on the whole beged. So from this price, we see clearly that bishul b'mixus hakli, ton mariku shtifa kol hakeli. We see beferish, not like Rami Bar Chama said misvara. Armalei Rami Bar Chama said to Rav Yitzchak, itanya tanya. You slugged me up again from a brisa, because my words were talk only a svara. I thought that Mariku Shtifa is similar to beged, but you showed me, first of all, logically you showed it to me, because of the Indian of mefapeya, which applies only to cooking in a pot, but you also brought me a beferish of brisa that says not like what I said, and I accept the brisa. Ask the Gemara of a time am I. What is the reason, in fact, why Mariku Shtifa is required on a whole keli, even though you only cooked it on part of the keli? The Achorinim have a problem with this kasher because the Chayra, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, told Rami Bar Chama a very good svara why you should require Mariku Shtifa on a whole keli, because the tam is mifapeya. It permeates. It spreads out throughout the keli because you're cooking it. What's the Gemara's akasha? Time am I. perhaps the one can say, the Gemara wants to say, is trying to find, is there a source in the Torah itself? But the Svara for it, we certainly have learned already before. The time am I, Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, the im beklin nechayshes bushala, vafilu bemiktas kli. We find a difference between the way the Torah speaks by kli cheres and the way the Torah speaks by kli nechayshes. By kli cheres, it says, the im beklin cheres tevushal boy. However, by kli nechayshes, it puts the keli and the bishul together. Not like by kli cheres, there's cooking and boy, the keli are two separate words. But here, the pasuk says, the im bikli nechayshes bushala. If the bishul took place in the kli. So it's mashma that the Gemara understands that to mean, vafilu bimiktsas kli. Since it says bikli, and therefore it's mashma, even in a section of the kli, it requires mikun shtifa on the entire keli. Begins the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Tanakama held that it makes no difference. You need mikun shtifa by kachim kachim and kachim kalam. Whereas Rav Shimon held that it's only by kachim kachim and not by kachim kalam. And now the Gemara is going to explain the rationale for each of these two shitas. Tana Rabbanan. The Rabbanan have taught chatas. The pasuk speaks about mariku shtifa by chatas. Ainli al chatas kol kadashim minayim. How do you know you need mariku shtifa if you cooked any of the kachim in the kli cheres you need shvira, and the kli nechayshes you need mariku shtifa, and it's for all kalim, for all kachim, even kachim kalim. Talmud loimer, and the Gemara says a very strange thing at first glance. Talmud loimer kodesh kadashim hi, because the pasuk after mariku shtifa states kol zachar b'kahanim yoichel oisah, which we had that part of the pasuk before, and the pasuk concludes kodesh kadashim hi. So from kodesh kadashim I learn how kachim kalim, which l'chayru one would say that doesn't make sense. It says kodesh kadashim and not kachim kalim, but as Rashi brings from the Gemara, which we'll learn in a few lines, that since we're going to have, as the next line of Gemara says, Yachol Shani Marbes HaTruma, maybe if you cook Truma within a pot, you also require Mariku Shtifa, Tama Loimer Oysa, the Pasuk has a Miyut, Kol Zecher B'Kanim Yachol Oysa, Prat LaTruma. We're not talking about Truma. So, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda understands, explains Rashi, that Kodesh Kadashim must be mar b'kachim kalim. Because if Kodesh Kadashim would be literally only Kodesh Kadashim, not kachim kalim, so certainly not Truma, which is even less of a Kedusha than kachim kalim. So what do I need another limud, a miyut of Oysa and not Truma? It's already nismayit from kachim kadashim, and not kachim kalim, and certainly not Truma. Elamai, vibalta have a miyut of Oysa, must be the Kodesh Kadashim is marba afil kachim Kalim, and the male I need I saw to be my truma, and that's actually what the Gemara is going to say in a few lines. What's the sheet of Rab Shimon? Rab Shimon Oimer kachim kadashim tuna mariku shtifa, because it says kachim kadashim, as we'll see, kachim kalim ain't a tuna mariku shtifa. Dichsev kaidish kadashim. So I learned the pashtus that kachim kadashim in kachim kalim loy. Ask the Gemara, this is such an obvious limit, the way Reb Shimon learns the Pasuk. My time at the Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, which we've already learned from the Rashi? The Gemara says, mid itzrich oysa lemute truma, since I need a special meat of oysa to my truma, mechlal, the kachim kalim, tunim rikishtiv. So must be the kachim kadashim includes kachim kalim. Because if it was memayit kachim kalim, then certainly truma would be nismayit. I wouldn't need another miyut of oysa. So from the miyut of oysa, I have a riot. A kachim kachim includes kachim kalim. V'Rab Shimon. So now, what's talking about in the Rab Shimon? Omer loch oysa kidamrinan. Oysa is what I already said. And Rashi tells us this is a short form. The Shimon doesn't elaborate, but he expects you to remember which we learned a few dafim before on daf tzadik gimel amid aleph, that there we had a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Kiva holds that dam of a chatas that had a shas hakosher, it was kosher and it became pasul, and the blood of that chatas splattered on a beged, it also requires the beged needs kibbutz. However, Rabbi Shimon says now that it's pasul, it's as if it was possible from day one, and it would not require kibbutz. And how do I know it? Because it says, I saw the loy chata shahaisul ashas hakaisher v'nifshul salah, and not a chata that had a shas kaisher and became possible. That's what I need, I saw. So I don't have an extra I saw for truma. So may I say that what does kaidish kadashim mean? Literally kaidish kadashim and not kachim kalam, and certainly not truma. Mashi enkein, the Tanakama doesn't use Isa like Reb Shimon does, so he used Isa for Truma, so much be that Kodesh Kadoshim includes Kachim Kam, and that's why I need a special Isa to be Maya Truma. But it comes out, according to both the Tanakama and Reb Shimon, even though they have a machlokes by Kachim Kalam, that Truma, everybody's Maida, does not need Marika Shtifa if you cooked Truma in a pot. Ask the Gemara, Utruma loy boy shtifa marika? Truma does not require shtifa and marika. Vahatanya, we learned in a brisa, kideira shabishabal basar loy vashabah cholov. A kideira in which you cook basar, you should not cook cholov, because then you'll have a mixture of basar b'cholov together, and if you cook subsequently something in the pot, that new food item will have in it a blia of basar b'cholov together. Ve'im bishul. What happens if you did cook cholov in a fleshik pot? The halach has been nice and tam. If there was shishim to be mevatel the cholov, then it's mutter, and if there was not shishim, then it would be a iser of basar b'cholov. Truma lo yivash b'cholin. Truma, you should not cook in a pot of truma. You should not cook chulin, and then have a non-koyin eat that chulin, because it will have in it the bleias of truma that were in the daifne kli that come out now into the chulin. The imbishal, if you did cook it, be nice and tam. So again, if there's samach to mevatel, the tam would be mutter. If there's less than samach, then there is a tam, and there's less than samach to mevatel it, then it would be usser. So what do we see from this brisa, that by truma, there's also an inyan of a blia in a pot that could usher subsequent food. So if so, truma certainly, if it was cooked in a pot, that pot would require mariku shtifa to get out the tom of the truma that's in the pot. Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, as Rashi explains, in Divrei Maschlam Rabbaya, Moidinan da Hagola boy. Of course you need Hagola. That, we're not discussing that. We're discussing the extra halacha of Marika Shtifa. V'loi Nitzra, continues Rashi, Haidi Moit mitaris Mariku Shtifa. Let's go back to the Gemara. Loi Tzricha Elul di Omer Mar. We need it to be memayat the special halach of Mariku Shtifa. In fact, we're going to have three different shitas. What special halach of Mariku Shtifa does Truma not need? Of course it needs Hagola. We had this chilik already in Rashi, in the Mishnah, the first Rashi, in Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says, Kachim Kalam don't need Mariku Shtifa. So Rashi asks, what about Nicer? So Rashi says, of course you need it for Hagola, for the Nicer. We want to know if it needs the extra halach of Mariku Shtifa. And that's what the Gemara says here as well. Of course, Truma needs Hagola. The Shaila is, what about the extra halacha of Mariku Shtifa? That everybody holds Truma does not need. Which halacha? Says the Gemara, the halacha, Elo l'Amar Mar, Bishal b'miktsas kli tom Mariku Shtifa. We learned before that this was the whole discussion between Rabbi Bar Chama and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, and we came to the maskana that if you cooked a chatos in a pot, even on part of the pot, the whole pot needs Mariku Shtifa. Bishop mixes kli ton Mariku Shtifa, kol hakli, ha, truma, leitzarach elamakam bishul. Truma will only require in the place of bishul. It will not require the halach of Mariku Shtifa on the whole keli. That halach of Mariku Shtifa, it will not need. Rava Amar, Rava said, Loitzricha el the Amar Mar, another halach of Mariku Shtifa is not required by Truma, even though it needs Hagola. Loitzricha el the Amar Mar, b'mayim v'loy b'yayin, that Mariku Shtifa, the Torah says, b'feirish has to be b'mayim, And you can't use wine. B'mayim v'loy b'mazik. Mazik, Rashi explains, is two parts water and one part wine. It was diluted. So, le'inyan merikishtifa, you need pure water and not diluted wine. But ha, by truma, once you've done the hagola to remove the truma from the pot, ha, afilu b'yayin v'afilu b'mazik, that in removing the truma, because you don't require marika shtifa, all you require is hagola. So memela ha afilubiyan afilubimazik. Here you could do it since there is no special halach of marika shtifa. Yes, there's halach of hagola. So what's the nafkamin of hagola or marika shtifa? You're doing the same thing. What's the difference if it's to take out the truma or it's a special halacha marika shtifa which we find by chatas? The nafkamin is, can you use water or can you use wine or diluted wine? If it's for the din of hagola, you could use wine, vafilu mazik, or diluted wine. And if it's for the halacha of marika shtifa, you cannot use wine and you cannot even use diluted wine. It has to be pure water, because it's exeris akasiv, marika shtifa requires only water. From this Gemara, it would seem that le'inyan hagola, le'inyan hechsher kalim from isurim, such as truma in a pot, or Basar B'cholov questions, that it would help Shar Mashkin. And actually, this is a big machloikis rishainim, whether Shar Mashkin held other Mashkin besides water helps for kashering. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Ulama, Rabbi Bar Ulama says, you know what the nafkamina is between the hagola that's required to remove the truma, amarika shtifa, leitzricha, el riyamar mar. Concerning that which we learned, Marika Shtifa Betzainen. Marika Shtifa is done with cold water. Both the Marika of purging the Keli from the inside and the Shtifa from the outside is all done with cold water. Ha, by the case of Truma, Philip Achamin, you could do it with hot water because by Truma, you're only interested in removing the Truma. So that you do with Hagola, with Chamin. But the special halacha marika shtifa is cold water that truma does not use. As the Gemara, hanichla man diyamar marika shtifa b'tzaynin. That's good according to man diyamar marika shtifa b'tzaynin. So truma uses hot water for hagala purposes and not the special din of marika shtifa. El man diyamar marika b'chamin u'shtifa b'tzaynin. But according to the man diyamar, who holds that the purging is done with hot water, it's only the rinsing from the outside that's done with cold water. So Ma'ikla Meimar, so he's already doing the Marika B'chamin. So what are you telling me that he's nismayit the truma from Mariku Shtifa when the Marika with hot water he's doing anyway for the Agola to remove the truma? Answers the Gemara, Shtifa Yisirta. What we're concerned about is the extra shtifa. In other words, Ein Echanami is doing what is tantamount to Marika by doing Agola, because Marika also is purging with hot water, and that he's doing anyway to remove the truma. Ein Echanami, but he's not doing shtifa with cold water. The shtifa with cold water, that is what truma does not need. Now, there's a very important Indian that's Nageya Yoredeya Shilas, and that is after one kashers a keli from tray from Basar B'cholov, there is a minika oilam to wash the keli with, to dip the keli into cold water. And Tosfos here, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and the Rishonim and the Achronim all discuss this minik. At the end of the last Tosfos on our Amud, six lines from the end, Tosfos says, "Umishani shtefa yisirta the tzorach lasis bekachim shtefa yisirta acher hagola mashen came betruma by kachim." You have to make an extra shtefa. Yes, marika in hot water you've done with agola, but you haven't done the shtefa. Truma does not require that. V'yesh lumud mikan, says Tosfos, the kalim asurin, that kalim habluin, it says on the side of it, has blias iser, kishimagilan, when you do agola, when you kasher them, ain't sarach l'shait from b'tzayin and achken, you don't have to rinse them with cold water afterwards. Af al pi shenoyegin atol asiskein, even though that is the minig. But according to our Gemara, it would not be necessary. And on the side, the Masoret Shas tells you, look in Tosfos Avodah Zarah, daf ayin vav amud alef, divrei hamaskil mikan. What does Tosfos say there? Vizel l'shoinai, this is the lashon of Tosfos. Uma shenoagu lasos, lasos kli ha-megu'ol. B'mayim tsoinenim miyad achar agolo, ein leida lama noagukein. Tosfos says that minig of putting, after you do agola, the keli should be put in cold water. We don't know why they had that minig. The ein loimer, mitam disnan beperg dam chatas andaf tzadik vav amid beid. You can't say it's because what we learned here in our Gemara, in our sugya. Davachachomim oimrim, marika bechamin. This is the sheet of the chachomim, who hold the marikas with hot water, shtifa betzainin. Dahainu bekachim. That's halacha bekachim. Avol betruma. Ka'amar Hasam, there the Gemara says in our sugya that the lessa, there is no shtifa. We don't do shtifa. The yesh mefarish, there are some who explain hadikomer shtifa yiserta, an extra shtifa. Hainu shtei shtifa is betzaynein. Ubetruma lessa the sagi b'shtifa akas. The loshin yisera mashmakein. So Tais has a whole new pshat. Till now we were learning, and we'll soon see that that's what Rashi holds. Tais is in Avodah Zarah, brings down our Rashi in the Sugya, that Kachim has Mariku Shtifa. Truma has Marika, if you say Marika, like the Shittas Chacham is with hot water. So I'm doing Marika anyway because I'm doing Hagola to remove the Truma from the Daifnei Akli. Yes, you have Marika, but you don't have the extra step of Shtifa of cold water. But there are those who learn that you don't have the extra Shtifa. Yes, you have the regular Shtifa. You have purging of the Truma or the Treif or the Basa B'chola from the Daifnei Akli. You have that. You have the shtifa number one, because whenever you kasher, you also rinse it off in cold water. We don't know the reason yet for it, but that's what the minig is to do. But you don't have the second shtifa, because if you're being mekayim marika of shtifa of kachim, there you have an additional shtifa yisera. Not just the one shtifa that you had following the Hagolah. There's a shtifa yiserta, and Taisa says the lashon of yiserta is mashma like that. Otherwise, the Gemara should have said, shtifa, we're talking about, you don't do shtifa normally, and here we do shtifa. No, the Gemara says shtifa yiserta. You do shtifa regularly. That's part of kashering, to put it in cold water. But you don't do the extra shtifa. And Taisa says, Va'al zeh nagu, this is a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, al zeh nagu shtifas tzoinen b'chol agolos, and based on this pshat in our Gemara, that shtifa yisirta means an extra shtifa, besides the regular shtifa, they were noyeg by every agola to make at least one shtifa, miu bekuntris pirish, in Rashi here in our sugya, shekein shtifa hi shtifas tzoinen, ubetruma lesa klal. So if you look in our Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Rashi says, Mishani, Shtifa Yiserta, Bitsoinen, Ika Bekachim, Bosamarika, Dehu Hagolas Chamin, Utruma Loi Boy Shtifa Tsoinen. So Rashi is clear, the way Tosfos learns it, and that's how everyone has to learn this Rashi, that Rashi is saying there's not a Shtifa Yiserta that's missing, but the whole concept of Shtifa to get the trum out of the Daifnei Kli, or the Isser, or the Bas B'chol out of the Daifnei Kli, that whole shtifa is an extra step, because you only have it by Kachim, but by all these other things, trum, Isser, Bas B'chol, of Treif, all these other things, that whole shtifa is an extra process, which we don't do at all. And that's why Tosfos in Avodah Zarah ends off and says, the last words of Tosfos, L'fichach tzarech tam l'minig. We need a tam for the minig of kol ha'olam that you do rinse off a kashered keli in cold water. Mircham Pesach is coming up. You take a look when you see how they kashered it. They put it into cold water. What's the reason for that minig? But actually, the tour brings down as strange as it sounds, brings down a tshuvas Rashi, even though Rashi over here says that Truma doesn't need it, and it would seem the same by all other Yisurim, doesn't need this extra step of shtifa in cold water. The Tur brings down the tshuvas Rashi that yes, you need it, and the reason that the Olam does it is because once you kashered the keli, now you have to immediately put it in cold water, otherwise the keli will reabsorb the iser that came out in the Hagola. In order to not reabsorb that, the iser shouldn't once again penetrate the keli and aser it again, you need to rinse it off with cold water. However, the Beis Yosef brings b'shem a rush that we're really not worried about that, what Tshuvas Harashi says that the Tur brings down. Why? Because we have samach in the water connected the iser, memela the samach is going to be mevatel the iser. So even if the keli will be boleya, reboleya that iser into it, it will be iser that's batel besamach, and memela there it will not aser the keli. So chayre taisis kasher comes back again. Lefik tzarch tam leminig. What's talking a reason for the minig? It would seem that Rashi's reason is not a strong reason. However, from the Paiskim, it's mashma that since Rashi said it, so the Minig Olam has come about to keep the words of Rashi to do it, or maybe because of a asmachta here by Kachim that we find as the Inyan that after you do Marika, you do Shtifa, so therefore by all Marikas, even for Isser, we're Simach on this Inyan by Kachim. Even though Taisa says that from our Gemara comes out that by Truma you don't do it, but Afal Pikain, we find a Zazach, Marika is synonymous with Shtifa, so when we do Marika, we do Shtifa as well. So L'chatchila, Avada, we should do it. B'di'evet, if it wasn't done, it would not usher the kalim, it wouldn't usher food cooked in those kalim, but Avada, L'chatchila, there's an Inyan to be Makayim, Minig, the Balatanya in his Shulchan Aruch says, a minute kol Yisrael, that we do the shtifa after kashering.